Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And joining us on the SDCCU fan hotline, talk some National Football League.
Yes!
It's never too early. 2 weeks away from training camp, we had to bring in the legend himself. From the NFL Network, that is Adam Rank. Yes, he's reached legendary status
yes,
on this program,
indeed,
no question. And he joins us today to talk some NFL and some fantasy football. Adam, how are you? This is a great time of year.
Oh, my gosh. What an honor to reach legendary status already. I was sitting there like, who else is joining us? This is going to be amazing. And then to see that you're talking about me, that's humbling. Thank you so much. So this is great. This is a good time of year.
It's so much fun. I mean, it seems like everybody out there in the NFL is like going to have a great year. You want to draft them all, get them all on your team, but you know for a fact that it's not going to work out that way. Give me a few guys that you're looking at and a few teams you're looking at that really have made some hay, especially on the offensive side of the football, because in fantasy we don't care too much about the defenses, but which teams have put together something that we should be keeping an eye on?
Yeah, we can't be bothered by what's happening with the defense.
No.
So that's a pretty good way to start. But I do, you know, the teams that really stand out to me, I know that the Cowboys were able to do some things at the end of last year when Amari Cooper came over in a trade. And I'll be honest, I kind of thought that was dumb. I thought the Cowboys had overpaid. They were in a panic move or whatever. And Amari came in and played well. And you look at Dak's numbers Once he arrived on the team, Dak looked like a different quarterback. That offense looked completely different. And now they brought back Jason Witten, which is good, number one, because he's good as a football player. Number two, he's not going to be doing the Monday night game. So we both win. Everybody
wins.
Cowboys fans, fans of quality announcing on Monday night football, we're all winners across the board. But you know what? When you look at Dak's numbers, when he has Witten back in 2017, when he was with Amari Cooper, that is a guy that now, when you're of the mind of waiting for a quarterback or somebody later down in drafts, I'm like, I'm getting a lot of interest in Dak Prescott, and I didn't think that I would ever be of that way in the NFL. So I'm like, okay, that's exciting. That's a fun team to watch out for. Curious to see what happens in Jacksonville with Nick Foles. You know, I know that a lot of people look at him as a system quarterback, that he was able to kind of achieve that Super Bowl win with Doug Peterson as his coach. But I thought that he played pretty well. And over the course of his career, if you look back when he was playing with the Giants' current head coach, Pat Shurmur, he had that wonderful season where he had, 27 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, something ridiculous. I think that, you know, you can kind of look at him and be like, yeah, he just didn't like playing for Jeff Fisher. And somebody who watched the Jeff Fisher Hard Knocks again, because it's on NFL Network all the time, I'm like, yeah, I kind of get that. Like, I see where he was coming from. And I feel like he's going to be reborn down there in Jacksonville. And perhaps if they can keep, you know, Leonard Fournette healthy, or at least not have to lean on him as much. It's weird that most of these teams want to lean on the running back to help the quarterback, but this is a situation where it's reversed, where the quarterback's going to help out the running back. And so I think that team's got some interesting possibilities, but one I keep an eye on, and I truly do believe this. I think Andrew Luck is going to be the top fantasy quarterback this season. I know everybody loves Mahomes, and he's great, and he does a lot of cool things, but you know what? He's not throwing for 50 touchdown passes again. So everybody in your league, somebody's going to probably do it in the second round. Now, not us industry hipsters. The three of us know better
than to
draft a quarterback that early.
Right, first round for Andrew Luck, right?
Yeah, do that, Chris. That's all you. Listen, you were telling me before I came on, you're like, I was terrible in fantasy.
Yeah,
last year.
That's why.
Now it's becoming pretty clear. You're like, I get it now. Okay.
Yeah.
But I really like what the Colts do. Like, not only from a fantasy perspective. So I love Andrew Luck this season. I think Paris Campbell's going to come in and have an immediate impact from the slot. He was a dynamic playmaker for Ohio State. I think he's going to bring something to this offense if Marlon Mack can stay healthy. And And the team that they've put together over the draft over the past couple of years has been pretty fascinating to watch them rebuild that. And it's one of those situations where I look at the Colts and you're like, okay, fantasy, yeah, love that. But then, you know, as a real football fan and somebody who actually cares who wins the Super Bowl each and every year, I look at the Colts and I'm like, this could be a team that challenges the Patriots for supremacy in the AFC. And I mean, I'm not going to be the guy who picks against the Patriots. I'm not going to be that dumb. But I'm like, okay, like they're starting. It feels like it's closing in a little bit on the Patriots, and the Colts are one of those teams I'm going to definitely be looking at.
Yeah, the Colts got they added some nice defensive pieces, even going into last year that I think allowed them to surprise some
people. And their offensive line too.
Their offensive line was
helps all those guys.
About time they did the offensive line, because poor Andrew Luck was not going to make it if they continued down that road. Adam, I want to ask you.
Right. But they did the right thing. They protected Andrew Luck. And then the Texans, they go the other way. They've needed a quarterback forever. And then they get Deshaun Watson, who's a stud. And then they don't protect him. They're not taking care of him. And it's like, I have the same feeling for them as I do for my toddler when she's not treating her toys. She just had a birthday. And then, you know what? She's getting Play-Doh everywhere. And I lecture her. And I say, listen, if you're not going to take care of your toys, I'm removing them. And I feel like I need to go and say that to the Texans. Like, if you're not going to take care of your quarterback, I'm taking them away. We'll put them somewhere else. We'll give them to Washington and let them. Well, that's a bad example. But we'll take them somewhere else. Well, they'll cherish that quarterback.
Right.
So that's one of the things in that division, which could be, you know, could be a big difference maker.
Adam, there's a ton of questions about Todd Gurley coming into this year. Last year, he was the clear-cut number one fantasy running back. Where do you have him at? What are your thoughts on Todd Gurley going into this year?
Oh, I think that, you know, for the right price, I think it could end up being a pretty nice value, depending on how scared the men and women in your fantasy draft are going to be. Because I think a lot of people have pretty much collectively decided we're not taking him in the first round, and then it becomes a game of chicken. Like, who's going to take him in the second round?
Right. Who's going to?
Because he's still going to be he's still going to be a part of the pass offense. He's still going to run the ball a little bit. He's not going to disappear. But it's a game of chicken. Like, I think everybody ideally would like it to be, you know, would like for him to go in the third round. I mean, much in the same way, if I was at the Stone Brewery, I would hope that Chris is going to pick up the check. I'm not counting on it, but I would hope that. That's my desire. I'm not sure it's going to happen. So I'm kind of staying away. I think my strategy is going to be to wait. And if somebody wants to make that move, if they want to jump in on Todd Gurley early in the second round, even later in the second round, I'm going to allow them to take that risk, because there's some other guys but I see just kind of falling as these drafts go on, or as these mock drafts go on, because that's what I do. I'm a lunatic. I'm already getting ready for it. I'm getting into it.
That's why we have you on.
I kind of let them deal with that. I think that, you know, they drafted Darrell Henderson for a reason. You know, you don't do it if you're not going to use him or make a move or anything like that. It's like if you're going out with somebody and you notice she's on some other dude's Instagram, like, she's not doing that because she's happy with you. She's actually doing it because she's planning on making a move at some point. So I look at that and I'm like, okay, like, that's the one thing. Like, the coaches and GMs and even the players, they'll all lie to you. But where they can't lie to you is in things like the draft. Like, they can't lie to you during the draft. Like, hey, we don't need a running back. Well, you just drafted one. Like, there's no, like, we can't make that. You can't smoke screen your way out of that one. So that's enough for me. I still think Gurley's great. I just think they're going to use him smarter. And I think that one of the things about him which made him so special over the last couple of years was his availability and his volume and everything like that. And that's getting eroded away, which is why I would start looking at some of the other options that are going to be available to you on the board.
It's amazing how quick your shelf life is in the NFL, because, I mean, Gurley was, you know, just 9 months ago was the greatest running back anybody's ever seen, and then the Super Bowl, he couldn't even get into the game. It was so weird. Adam Rank is with us from the NFL Network, fantasy expert and NFL fan. And I want to ask you about the wide receivers and just who sets up the best now. Antonio Brown moves to the Raiders. You already mentioned Cooper with Dallas. Is there a changing the guards at wide receiver? Odell Beckham tries Cleveland. I mean, there's all kinds of maneuvering around who landed in the best spot.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I really love, is that the availability of these receivers. DeAndre Hopkins is my consensus number one. Mike Thomas is another great option as well. You mentioned Odell Beckham Jr. One of the things that I like about Odell is that he's playing with a quarterback whose career is on the rise. Like, Baker Mayfield is just taking off. He's just coming up and playing, you know, his best football. Whereas Eli Manning, and this is no knock against Eli, although he spurned you guys. Let's make fun of Eli for a moment. Eli was only good the last couple of years because Odell Beckham Jr. was on the field. You can go look up the statistics, and it shows that Eli's splits with and without Odell. He's two different quarterbacks, and he's on the back end of his career. And I'll give him credit for going out and beating the Patriots twice, and he had a nice career. Probably ends up in the Hall of Fame because that's what happens, but whatever. Like, he's on the backside of his career, and now Odell Beckham Jr. is going to be in a dynamic offense that's growing. There's other options there. I think that having a solid running attack with Nick Chubb behind Baker Mayfield, I think Jarvis Landry out there, I think it sets up well. And I think that a lot of people, because everybody loves to micromanage these things. They're like, well, how are they going to find ways to get the ball to everybody? Well, the good news is the new offensive coordinator is a man by the name of Todd Monken, who was the offensive coordinator last year in Tampa Bay, and he was really good at finding ways to distribute the football to O.J. Howard, to Mike Evans, to Rashawn Jackson, to Adam Humphries. He found ways to get everybody involved, and now he's going to Cleveland where he's going to have that opportunity as well. And you remember, one of the reasons – Ryan Fitzpatrick had the Fitz magic runs was because Monken, an offensive coordinator. Now he's in Cleveland helping out those guys. One of the underappreciated storylines of the offseason. So I'm really excited about what they got going on.
Adam, you know, when we're talking about these wide receivers, one of the names that we haven't mentioned yet is Antonio Brown. He goes from Pittsburgh to Oakland. How do you see him as it pertains to the fantasy standpoint? Is he going to still be a productive wide receiver? He's moving into that 30 age, where that 30 plus age, where you start to see guys slow down a little bit, and his game is predicated off of his quickness and speed.
That is true, and you're not lying about anything that you're talking about. But you know what? He's just 30. Like, he's not in his late 30s. And I don't want to compare him to Jerry Rice, who was amazing well into his 40s and everything like that, but I'll still give him a couple of years of his prime. And what Antonio Brown did was it's something that nobody has ever done, where he, from 2013 to 2018, he had at least 1,200 receiving yards. He also had 8-plus touchdowns in each one of those seasons. No, but not even Jerry Rice was able to do that. And so I look at his consistency over the course of his career, going to Derek Carr. I'm a Derek Carr fan, so perhaps I'm a little bit biased when I say this, but I think Derek Carr, he's never had a wide receiver of Antonio Brown's talent. He's never had a wide receiver who's caught 10 touchdowns. And Mike Crabtree was very good, but he's not Antonio Brown. I mean, Antonio Brown is now starting to get into that conversation. It's not the conversation of who's the best receiver of all time. We all understand that's Jerry Rice. Jerry Rice is the only player in the NFL at a position where you're like, there's no argument of who the best of all time is.
Right.
It's Jerry Rice and it's nobody else. Because if you look at quarterback, you can argue Brady in Montana, or if it's running back, it's Walter Payton and Jim Brown or anything. Wide receiver is a runaway. Where the debate is the number two all time. And Antonio Brown is starting to get into that conversation. As a matter of fact, I think he's in that conversation. And I think that he's going to continue. And I think that having him motivated, watching his workouts, looking at him, the way he's really embraced being a part of the Raiders, and with the motive, and I don't want to be like he's motivated to prove Pittsburgh wrong, but at the same time, he's kind of motivated to prove them wrong. So I'm happy. And you know what? And I'm finding him in the second round. I'm happy with it. I'm like, okay, if you guys don't want to play that game, if you want to make your Derek Carr jokes, do it. I'm taking him, and I'm very comfortable having Antonio Brown in the second round.
Adam Rank, NFL Network, is with us.
I'll pocket that piece of advice.
Yes, you're pocketing all of this advice. I'm listening to all of it and then thinking, Well, Tony's going to know the same advice when we do the draft, so he'll get all these guys ahead of me. Love to keep rolling, Adam. We came into this, I was thinking, what are we going to talk about?
Right.
Now I have about 15 more questions, so we're going to have you on again here in a week or two just to kind of catch up on everything once training camps open up. But looking forward to the season, looking forward to having you on with us. It's great having you with us, and let's have a fun football season. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, Adam.
Well, thank you so much. The pleasure, as always, was on this side of the phone. And I know that, you know, Tony went to San Diego State where Kawhi Leonard went, and he didn't go to the Lakers. No. And you know what? I didn't let that stop me. I said, I'm a professional, and I'm going to do my job. But still, the pleasure was all on this side of the phone.
Thanks again, Adam. You got to take care.
Thank you, too.
All right, buddy. Have a
good call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's now time for the most unpredictable, most wacky, most opinionated segment of the show.
I wouldn't brag.
Gwen and Chris talk about the best of the rest.
Great balls, you fire!
Ooh, with a twist.
Personally, I think we got hosed on that call.
The Big Five begins right now.
Don't panic, but there's absolutely nothing to worry about.
On 97.3 The Fan.
All right, real quick, Chris, I'm going to ask you a trivia question that Braden Suprenic gave us.
Okay.
And we're not going to spend much time on it. Who was the leadoff batter the last time the Padres had a winning record in the second half?
In the second half?
Of the season. No, am I wrong?
You're wrong.
Okay.
Going into the break.
Going into the break. That's what it was. I didn't write down. Okay, just please answer it. I feel stupid.
You are.
Okay, thank you. Do you know?
Yeah, Anthony Gwynn.
No, that's actually not it.
It's not?
Anthony Gwynn Jr.
Oh my
He's being funny.
He's so funny.
Wow, that's pretty good. I did not think Chris would... I'm not doubting your knowledge, but that's so random. Who would know that?
Why is that random? The last time the Padres had a record over 500 at the All-Star break was the magic year of 2010.
That's true.
Indeed.
I believe that our friend, Tony Gwynn Jr., was a star on that team.
He was.
And I can't imagine asking the question if anybody other than him was the leadoff hitter.
Okay.
It would have been real random then.
Yeah. That's true.
All right, take us to your big five, girls.
Number five. The NBA is going to implement a coach's challenge at the upcoming summer leagues and anticipates using the rule during the 2019-20 regular season as part of a pilot program per a memo sent to teams this morning reported by ESPN. Coaches are going to get one challenge a game. They lose it if the challenge, and they will lose it even if the challenge is successful. They can use it to challenge any called fouls, goaltending, basket interference, and plays when the ball is knocked out of bounds. Coaches must have a timeout. The team must call a timeout immediately after the event it would like to challenge. And here's my favorite part. And the coach must, quote, twirl his or her index finger toward the referees. Like, that's the version of the red...
They've been watching a lot of baseball. That's what they've been doing.
That's the version of the red flag is the twirling of the finger. Sounds like maybe, switch it up. Oh, no, I didn't want to challenge that. No.
Right?
That could be an issue.
Better get your play calls different.
If the challenge is successful, the team retains the timeout. But if the challenge is unsuccessful, they lose it. So similar to the NFL.
So you just
point.
Get one challenge.
One
period.
Challenge per
no matter
game.
What.
So Chris, will this be a good thing for basketball, or will it become a nuisance to fans?
Both. It will certainly become a nuisance to fans. That I am sure of.
They already take too much time.
Just like all replay has become a total nuisance to fans, except for those fans who believe that the world has to be
perfect,
adjudicated perfectly.
Good point.
Anybody else understands that replay is a pain in our side that is never going to go away? As a matter of fact, it's getting worse and worse and worse. This is the first step for the NBA down the dark hole of a path that will lead them to basically challenging every single call that's ever made in an NBA game and ruining the game forever if they're not careful. Because baseball is one thing. Where you got a ball, either it's fair or it's foul. Basketball, almost every call is a judgment call.
Yeah.
So are you're telling me that you're going to allow them to once a game be able to go back and look at a judgment call? How can you judge a judgment call, even if you look at it again? I just think this is awful. I hope the NBA doesn't go through with it, but I know they're going to.
Tony?
Initially, my mind is trying to be open to this. And it's like, okay, one challenge a game, save it, cool. But I already know how we are as a society. The moment that one call is, that one challenge has been used, and there's a play at the end of a game that we look in super slow-mo, slowed down 13 times, and we realize, oh, it should have been this, man. Oh, we got to open it up a little bit more. It's just going to, it's a slippery slope, as Chris said, and it will, I just don't trust us. I don't trust us to not freak out now that there is now that they're going to try out this challenge system. I don't trust fans and people who watch the game to not freak out when there's a call that is not made correctly, which literally happens every game. And we've all lived with it to this point.
There are so many calls in a basketball game.
Don't ruin my beautiful game of basketball.
Yeah, there's so many calls in basketball. Just move on. I mean, honestly, I could see somebody like Greg Popovich like showing how ridiculous this is
by
challenging the opening tap as to whether or not the guy on the other team tapped the ball too soon.
That'd be great.
You can challenge anything, and it's going to wreck the game. Sorry.
Oh, all right, let's go to number four.
Number four.
A Florida tennis prodigy became the youngest player to ever qualify for Wimbledon in the Open era yesterday. Corey Goff, who is 15 years old, defeated Belgium's Griet Minnen in a match 6-1, 6-1 to accomplish the feat. The tournament, the Wimbledon tournament, that is set to begin July 1st. Tony, what were you doing when you were 15 years old?
When I was 15 years old.
Not qualifying for Wimbledon.
I wouldn't qualify for very much anything at 15. I was pretty average, man. Like 15, I think I was a sophomore going as a 15-year-old. So I was playing, getting an opportunity to play varsity basketball, but that's pretty much where my stardom ended at that point.
Chris, what were you doing at 15 years old?
I was on the high school baseball team.
Nice.
That's about it.
Chris, what are most 15-year-olds are doing at that point?
Yeah, I was just playing, learning how to pitch a little bit. Learning that I couldn't hit and that I better be able to pitch a little bit because I was never going to make it in any other position. I think I was also writing for the school newspaper.
Oh, nice.
And anyway, I think the real question here is 15, really? Do we need that?
I didn't want to ask that.
I know. It's kind of the obvious one. But Venus Williams, I think, qualified as a pro 16. At 13 or 14.
Okay. 13.
She was playing pro tournaments, so... You know,
been done
it's
before.
Getting earlier and earlier nowadays, but these kids can handle it. I mean, the kid earned his way into the tournament. It's not like he's been given a spot like they do in golf tournaments once in a while. Where they
sponsor exemption.
I mean, he earned his way in. So, whatever age,
it's
one day some kid who's 12 years old is going to win Wimbledon.
Yeah.
Okay, well, one
day...
Does
that change it a little bit, then?
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
One day a 12-year-old's going to win Wimbledon.
Wait, what?
I almost think that's going
to... That would be crazy.
Why would that be crazy?
A 12-year-old winning Wimbledon?
I'm calling it right now.
That would be insane.
Calling it!
That would be nuts.
I'm stunned. Let's move to number three.
Number three.
Tracy Austin almost won the U.S. Open once at like 13 or 14.
That is insane.
I think she got to the final. I mean, it was close.
You're not even done growing yet. And you're winning Wimbledon? I broke the news to you yesterday about Yonder Alonso being designated for assignment by the White Sox, but now the team finds themselves in a weird spot. The news of his assignment came less than 2 hours after the team sent out a release promoting his charitable bowling event set to be held on Sunday, benefiting the Boys and Girls Clubs of Chicago and the Chicago White Sox Charities. Other members of the White Sox are scheduled to appear at the event, but at that time, they will be ex-teammates. So they will no longer be his teammates because he's not on the team anymore. Chris, what should the White Sox do about this event?
They should fold up the organization.
The whole thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
The White Sox are a mess.
That is pretty bad.
Yeah. No, what are you going to do? I mean, these kinds of things happen. I think it's great.
Can you hold it? The guy's not on the team anymore.
Well, of course
but it's not about that.
Yeah. I mean, of course he can hold the event, and I would hope that his quote, former teammates. Many of them would still come.
Hopefully.
The White Sox, I guess, probably don't have to devote as many resources to the event as they might have originally. But, I mean, if he put something like this on and he's worked on it, I hope he still goes out and has the event to, if for no other reason, just for the kids and everybody else that would get to take part in it and get a chance to meet a former big league ball player. That might be a big league ball player again, by the way. I don't know that this is the end of the road for Yonder Alonso.
For people out there, I mean, now that I've been around it a little bit, it's a lot of work for these athletes to come up with these events because there's a lot of scheduling and all that. But, Tony, what do you think?
I'm going to read this part to you guys real quick. Benefiting the Boys and Girls Club of Chicago and the Chicago White Sox Charities. I think Alonso will go, ultimately. But doesn't it feel a little weird that you fired a guy and you're and somehow, I mean, listen, in some sense, if this is his charity, he's got to go, right? Like, he's got to show up. But if this is for the White Sox and you just fired me, basically.
Why do I want to help you?
Yes, but at the same time, it kind of puts him in a rough spot. It's like,
why do I want to be a jerk to these kids?
Exactly. So I think he'll go ultimately.
I know what you would do. You would leave all the kids hanging.
Oh, he'd be a Caribbean jerk.
And you wouldn't even announce it either. You just wouldn't show up. All these poor kids would be standing there with these bowling balls in their hand waiting for their hero to show up. And you just would.
So you're saying if the
fan
fired
blow them right off.
And I had a charity event and they sent it out saying, and they still
and you
me.
Knew that it benefited
the
fans,
Boys and Girls Club,
the fans' charities.
I'm out.
You're definitely not.
No, actually, I'm contacting all those kids and I'm saying, let's go to Chuck E. Cheese over here.
I can see you doing that
because then we're going to go celebrate over
that's
here.
Super petty, but I can see you doing that for sure.
All right, let's move on to number two.
Number two.
10 former elite players, including United States national team icons Michelle Akers and Brandi Chastain, have signed on to take part in a first-of-its-kind study on the long-term effects of head impacts in a high-level women's soccer. Akers suffers from chronic migraines, and Chastain actually became the first professional woman athlete in 2016 to pledge to donate her brain to the Concussion Legacy Foundation for study upon her death. Tony, how much of a problem is concussions in soccer?
It's always been a problem. It just has not been written or reported on as much as the number one sport in America, which is football.
And then they try to sweep it under the rug.
And football did try to sweep it under the rug. But I think, listen, when you start researching these things, you generally find information that you did not know before. Although, because of football, I think there won't necessarily be things we don't know. We pretty much know what causes head trauma, right? This is maybe a little bit less, considering that you're not 225 running.
I've headed a ball before. It hurts.
Right. But my point is,
I don't think that's the main
is
spot
it hitting
to get
heads?
Injured. Yes.
It's exactly. On the headers when you get two heads basically colliding at times.
Yeah, that's a pretty severe injury,
and not only
especially
that,
they're not wearing any helmets.
Just getting raised, they're not wearing any helmets or really any pads other than the shin guard. So when you do have collisions when they're actually running into each other. I think it's interesting that two icons from the 99ers, as they call them, are you know, heading this right
now.
Do you
have daughters that play soccer? Does this worry you?
Yes and no. I mean, listen, I think anytime your kids are out playing a sport like soccer or things that have to do with your head, you always got to have a little bit of caution and concern, but they love to do it, so I'm not going to take
Aren't
it away
they
from
not
it.
Allowed to head the ball at a
My
certain age?
My oldest daughter just got to the level where you can now head the ball, but I think it's prior to the age of 11, you're not allowed
not
to.
Not even supposed to. I think they're going to have to change that and move that up to about 15 or 16 until really kids have better control of their bodies and are able to go up and really understand how to head without hitting heads. Because that's a more severe injury to me almost than a wide receiver going over the middle. I mean, two heads just completely colliding
with
no helmet.
Protection, yeah.
I mean, that's dangerous, and I don't think people look at soccer as being dangerous, but
I don't know if
it
they'll,
can be.
I agree that they probably should raise the age limit, but I don't know if they will. The one thing that we've had success in this country with in soccer is the women's game.
Oh, yeah, and, that's and right. We have to continue to be the best in that.
You know that's how these things work a lot of times, so we'll see.
Fair enough.
All right, let's get to the last. We have just a few minutes left.
Number one.
The Chiefs are hoping the NFL will have a ruling on Tyreek Hill before the start of training camp, according to Therese Paylor of Yahoo Sports. He had an eight-hour meeting with NFL investigators on Wednesday that was considered quote-unquote positive for the receiver. The 25-year-old was under investigation for child abuse against his three-year-old son, but the investigation is no longer active and there is no arrest made. Many experts assume he will be suspended by the NFL, and the maximum he could receive is four games. Chris, how many games at this point is an appropriate suspension in your eyes?
Four games.
Okay.
I think that's fine. If they've looked into this, and I'm talking about
the police,
yeah, and they're not filing any charges, and they're satisfied, however it was that they became satisfied, then that, to me, the National Football League could do no more than the collective bargaining agreement says, and that's four games. Seems like it would be fair to me that that's the punishment. I think the Chiefs can still decide whether or not they want to keep Tyreek Hill as part of the program, and apparently they do. So they'll probably have to put up with a little backlash for that, but four games sounds right to me.
I think four games is right. I think Chris is dead on, especially considering that it seems like the police have closed their case. There's no longer an investigation. There was no charges filed. But because he's been in these incidents, I think it's appropriate to have four games. It's like, we want you to get the message that we need you to stay away from this type of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, this is probably as bad as it gets right here.
Pretty much.
I heard a national sports talk host say on the drive home last night that he thinks if Tyreek Hill can't play or if the Chiefs release him, the Chiefs are now going to be the worst team in the AFC West.
It's a little strong.
Yeah, that is strong, right? I was like, what is going on with this take?
Well, that's not a lot of support for how good Patrick Mahomes is. They think they're going to take away his wide receiver, and he's not going to be able to ever move.
He doesn't
have
Kareem Hunt either.
He didn't have him at the end of last year, and he was one possession away from going to the Super Bowl.
No? In my face, because that was a great retort. Is that the word, retort? Rebuttal. Rebuttal is the word. All right, that's it for the Big Five.
You've survived another edition.
The looks on your guys' face sometimes.
You know why we have that look?
Because you have no idea what's going on.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, let's get to our next guest. Joining us on the SDCCU Fan Hotline, Dylan Hernandez, LA Times, all things Lakers, Dodgers. I guess we... probably a little Clippers now, unfortunately. Dylan, how you doing today, brother?
I'm doing great. I'm talking to you, so I'm doing great.
Oh, that's nice of you. Very nice. So you guys had quite a few all-stars out on that field yesterday, and you roll into this first half of the season with a huge lead. The question is, and you and I have this conversation, it seems like the last 4 years, will they pay some money for bullpen help? In the Dodgers, we're talking about.
I would think so. Yeah, I would think so. You know, just because it really does feel like they're just kind of like one piece away, right? I mean, you know, and I think, you know, I really don't think that this year it's going to really kind of, you know, you look at the acquisitions the last couple of years. I mean, they've been pretty major ones, right? Manny Machado, you know, the year before that, Yu Darvish. You know, even like a pretty good, you know, bullpen piece, you know, if you get him on like a rental type thing, you know, presumably wouldn't cost as much. You know, one really kind of positive sign for them is that for like the last, you know, stretch here, you know, entering the All-Star break, Joe Kelly actually started pitching pretty well, you know. So we saw the good version of Joe Kelly. Now, I know the good version of Joe Kelly can easily turn into the bad version of Joe Kelly. So, you know, we don't know where that's going to go. But, you know, if he, you know, can kind of maintain his form, if, you know, Julio Urías, you know, ends up being a bullpen piece for them, you know, kind of going down the stretch. You know, I would anticipate that Kenta Maeda, you know, as they go into the playoffs, could be moved into the bullpen. So, you know, even with the pieces that they have there, I think they actually have a chance of building an okay bullpen. And then, you know, again, you go out and add one more, a pretty good one, and then I think you, you know, I think you're pretty set there. And it's, So I don't think the price is going to be quite as steep, I guess, it has been, you know, in the last couple of years when they've had to go out and get, you know, something like a middle of the order bat or a, you know, top of the rotation pitcher.
Dylan, are Dodger fans and people who watch this team surprised, or have we just come to accept that every single player they bring up practically from the minor leagues is going to produce, going to contribute, going to deserve a spot on this roster? And then many of them end up getting sent back down. I know Matt Beatty went back down after he had some success, and there's been several other guys. But it just seems like we always hear about the Padres farm system. We always hear about the Dodgers' money. Never really hear about the Dodgers' farm system, but it's unbelievable when they bring guys up. I mean, everybody, it seems, checks in and contributes for that team.
Yeah, you know, and I think what was really encouraging about this year is that, you know, really up until now, all the guys that have, you know, come up from the system were drafted actually by Logan White, who's now, you know, the Padres, right? When Logan White was a scouting director, you know, he famously drafted Kershaw and Matt Kemp and Russell Martin and James Loney and so-and-so. And, you know, as recently as even, you know, Alex Verdugo was a Logan White draft pick, right?
Yeah, so, Seager was, yeah.
Seager, right? So you kind of look at their whole roster and it's like, okay, well, Logan picked all these guys. What about the new regime, you know? And, you know, Walker Buehler was actually their first draft pick, so that was a good one. You know, and this year we saw, you know, Will Smith, you know, the catcher come up, and Beatty, who you mentioned, you know, and so, you know, in Will Smith's case, he was a first-round draft pick. That is the type of guy that you kind of expect to make it, but Beatty wasn't. You know, he was a later-round pick, I believe, and, you know, those are the kind, right, that's when you know you have a good system, is when you're, those guys that you kind of draft in the 10th round, the 15th round, when those guys start making it, and kind of, you know, are able to kind of contribute here and there and complement the higher round draft picks. I think that's when you kind of know you have, okay, we have a pretty good system in terms of scouting and in terms of player development. So to me, that's actually been kind of one of the untold stories of this season, is how, I guess, this kind of new regime, you know, that their draft picks are kind of starting to get into a position where they can contribute at the major league level.
Dylan Hernandez, LA Times, joins us here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. Dylan, you're very astute, man. You always are paying attention, especially in that area in Los Angeles. Kawhi Leonard surprises. I guess he really didn't surprise, because really from the moment the season started, everybody thought if he was going somewhere it was the Clippers. Then we got bamboozled into thinking the Lakers were really into this. Turns out they probably weren't. What do you think this will do in Los Angeles, having two teams possibly be Western Conference Finals contenders?
Yeah, I mean, it's a fascinating thing right now, because I'm still convinced. Now, the Lakers might be good, but they're still like a train wreck of an organization. You know, this is a case of being born on third base, right? This is how they say, I guess I read something, a study, right? It's better to be born like a millionaire and end up a high school dropout than it is to come from a poor family and get a college degree, right? If, you know, the silver spooner will end up ahead. That's kind of the thing. And that's kind of where the Lakers are, right? They're, you know, they have the history, and despite of, you know, all of the problems that they had, you know, and I'm not even giving like the front office credit, by the way, for getting Anthony Davis, right? That was all Rich Paul and LeBron. You know, they kind of orchestrated this whole thing. And yet, you know, the thing is that the city, that's the city's team, right? Everybody in the city loves the Lakers. And the fact that the arch rival is now in the same building as them, right? You know, and you can kind of tell from our newspaper's website, right? We see like the traffic stuff. And, you know, even during the Chris Paul, Blake Griffin era, Clippers traffic was never that great. You know, it was always, you know, Lakers, Dodgers, and then you just kind of had this cliff. And now people are reading Clippers stuff because I think it's like, oh, these are the bad guys, right? These are the guys that we have to know about. And it's a much better run organization. You know, I don't know if, you know, I mean, obviously you can argue which two are, you know, which twosome is better. Probably LeBron and AD still at this point, but, you know, the Clippers probably have more depth. You know, the Clippers have those two guys coming off the bench, you know, Williams and Harrell. You know, the Clippers probably have the better coach at this point. The Clippers have the better front office. And so kind of the contrast of it, I think, is really kind of great, right? I mean, you have, you know, in LeBron and AD, these types of guys that are, you know, really, you know, like the attention, seek the attention. And then, you know, you have, you know, in George and in Leonard, these two guys who, by the way, are Southern California natives,
yeah,
but maybe are a little bit quieter. Like, the contrast is just kind of perfect, I think, in all ways. You know, and I could even see a scenario, by the way, where, you know, maybe head to head, you know, because I was talking about this with a colleague the other day. Who on the Clippers is going to stop AD, right? Especially with off all those pick and rolls and stuff.
Right.
If JaVale McGee was that good last year on a bad Lakers team, how good is AD going to be in that system, right? Who's going to stop him? But at the same time, you know, when you look at the course of a season, you know, I love the Clippers defense. Again, I love that bench that's still kind of intact. I could see the Clippers actually winning more games, you know, but maybe not winning the head-to-head series, right? Yeah. And that's just going to be fascinating, I think, because every time they play, it's going to be this kind of huge event, you know? And so, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, L.A., New York, right, these are the types of cities, like, we love to kind of be at the center of the universe. And right now, this is one of those cases where that's actually the case. So, yeah, no, absolutely. Going into this, I mean, this is completely a basketball. It's always been a Laker town. It still is a Laker town. But, again, you know, the fact that the enemy is now living in the same building as them makes this really interesting.
Yeah, that is going to be something to watch all season long. Dylan, as always, we appreciate your time, man. We'll catch up soon.
Thanks, guys.
No, thank you so much. Anytime. Thank you.
Always good having Dylan Hernandez.
Dylan Hernandez, LA Times. SDCCU has low mortgage loan rates, equal housing opportunities. Apply now at sdccu.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Uh-oh.
What?
The look on your face.
Oh, no. It's I was waiting for you to keep talking. Why is Tony shaking his head at me?
I was hoping maybe you can bring a little insight into it.
Write us, tweet us, Facebook us, send a carrier pigeon for Chris. He thinks they're cute.
That's my favorite part! Hurt the Palooka big time.
Now, on 97.3 The Fan.
Can I do something that you guys are going to hate? Can I request a restart that? I want to hear that over again.
It's time to ask the experts, Padres fans.
I was hoping maybe you can bring a little insight into it.
Write us, tweet us, Facebook us, send a carrier pigeon for Chris. He thinks they're cute. Padres Pen Pals begins.
Hurt the Palooka big time.
Now, on 97.3 The Fan.
Is it any wonder I don't like this segment?
Yeah, I know. Do you like carrier pigeons, though? Do you think they're cute?
I do.
You do? Okay, good. All right, so let's...
They had to okay that with me before they used that line.
Is that right?
Sure.
Okay.
All right. You said sure.
Yeah. They called me and said, Chris, we're about to throw this line in a promo. Do you mind?
And you're like, yes, I love it. Yeah. I do love it, by all means.
No.
All right, Padres Pen Pals is something we started a little bit ago is when the season started, and it's pretty much... I go and post on a Facebook group called San Diego Padres Fans Friarhood, and I ask them, do you have any Padres-related questions? We will be asking Gwen and Chris on the show, and it has become a big thing. People want to ask their questions. People, though, they aren't looking at the other questions. So if you, let me just tell you, if you don't have a unique question, you're probably not going to get it asked. So I encourage you to come up with unique, fair questions. I don't want any of these things about hurting people's feelings. We're not doing that here.
You opened yourself up now, because now everybody's going to be listening to the questions that you ask, and if they aren't unique, especially your Twitter folks over there, they're going to be on your head.
Yeah, you're right. That was pretty stupid of me. But
here we go.
It's really stupid. Usually
not the first time.
Yeah. All right. So let's get started, Thomas. Chris's favorite part of the show, the little scribbles. Those are the pen pals.
Now been passed by the carrier pigeon.
This one comes from Marcy Hubbard. She says, I hear all this talk that the Padres won't ever get the attention they deserve because we're in a small market. This is frustrating to me because I can see the talent and what's coming. Do you think we'll ever get the coverage and respect we deserve? Let's start with you, Chris.
Yes, you will. When you win 45 and lose 27 the second half of this season and get to 90 wins and make the playoffs, you will get all of the attention you desire. And by the way, you're starting to get a lot of that attention now. It's just not coming back to us in San Diego. I don't think we're hearing about it, but I think everybody we've talked to, Tony, around the league seems to be talking about this Padre ball club, and that sweep over the Dodgers did not hurt any.
No, it did not. Tony, what do you think?
What was the question again?
When do you think they're going to get their due?
Listen, I mean, if they're not getting their due right now, I mean, it's because they're a 500 baseball team. The teams that get their due are the teams that are at the top of the division or right there on the cusp of being at the top of the division. So when they get to that point is when we'll start hearing more about them, or when they are, if and when they are actually, you know, contending in the wild card spot, you probably will start hearing about them more. But because there's eight teams in that bad boy, you're going to have to be like in the top two in order to get some mentions for the wild card.
Yes. All right, let's go over to the next pen pal, and this is one of my favorite names. Nacho Arredondo. That is a good name. So, Tony, you're going to be up first, but Nacho is asking, do you think the Padres are serious about adjusting the roster if they are still in contention by the trade deadline?
That is a very good question. I don't know how serious they are about it. They could be 100% serious. They could be 0% serious because of where they're at. They've gotten this far with the roster they have. I think it'll depend on what everybody else is doing, too. Like, if they feel like they actually have a shot, my guess is that they're going to go for it to some extent. I don't think it to the extent that maybe people are thinking, like, go all in. I don't think they'll do that, but they'll make a move if they feel like it's necessary.
Chris?
I think the Padres will make a move between now and the trade deadline, but, yeah, I don't think it's going to be a huge one. I think it's going to be somebody to give them some more options at second base, perhaps, or more options, another starting pitcher, just because all these other guys are running out of innings. But I, again, back to the beginning of the show, Syndergaard would not be the way I would go. I think that's too big of a move too soon.
Actually, the next question is about, a lot of people asked about Noah Syndergaard. We talked about it earlier, so let's just refresh our pen pals with what your thoughts are. Chris, you can go first about whether or not you would trade for Syndergaard.
No, I don't like him. And he's not my kind of guy.
Did he personally slight you one time?
No.
Okay.
I don't like his attitude. I didn't like all the BS he came out with during the offseason in New York. I'm just not a fan. He doesn't seem like a mature individual to me. And that's what the Padres need, a good leader and an ace at the same time. I don't think Syndergaard is both those things.
Tony, would you trade for Noah Syndergaard?
For the right deal, yes, I would. And that would mean nobody on the big league roster, basically.
So, Luis Urias?
Yeah. I'd put him in there. I'd put Weathers, first-round pick this year. And maybe one other guy. But I wouldn't put none of the big-time arms that we're talking about at all. I wouldn't. If it's something like that, yes. If not, no.
Okay. Let's move over to our next pen pal. Mr. Dan Carlin. And Chris, you're going to be up first on this one again. Mike Minor, Texas Rangers pitcher. Could he be a good trade target for the Padres?
Sure.
Okay. Tony?
He had an excellent first half. Is he a guy who used to play with the Braves, isn't he? Can you start with the Braves?
I think
sure.
He did. Yes.
I honestly
He's 31.
Don't. Yeah, I honestly don't watch the American League that much, so I'm not going to be able to give a very involved answer here. But I think when I'm talking about a minor deal to add to the rotation, Mike Minor is the kind of name I'm talking about. Right. So that's the kind of guy I think that they could get, yes, or should get.
Tony, Mike Minor.
I think. I have to agree with Chris. Spot on. Like, if I felt confident about a move that they would make, it'd probably be a move like this. Not saying Mike Minor is the guy, but it would be a move like this where you don't have to give up, you know, your top 15, top 10 type guys in your prospect chain, but he's good enough to where he could affect the rotation and affect you winning ball games for sure.
The problem with Mike Minor, as I look at it, is that Texas is still very much in the running
right.
in the American League
yeah.
wild card. So I don't know that you'd be able to get a guy like him, because why would they be giving up?
Very true. All right. Our last pen pal of the day, and this is my favorite one. Andy Mann is our pen pal. And this is kind of a funny one. He says, do you guys think that Tatis and Manny didn't get picked to the All-Star game as reserves by Dave Roberts because Roberts is butthurt that the Padres didn't hire him as manager and he got into it with Green last year, so he might be taking it personal and screwed us of two stars, especially Tatis? That's my opinion. What do you guys think, Tony, first?
No. That's not even close to something Dave Roberts is about. He might have it. He personally, I don't think it would be. I know Dave is from here, but if we're talking about at the time, which job would you want to take? Even though he didn't get an interview here, I think it turned out pretty good for Dave Roberts. So I don't think he's all that bitter. A. B. He's not the type of individual that would take that out on players. He I just don't see that happening. It's a conspiracy theory. A good one.
A good one, I love the imagination.
But the short answer is no.
Chris, what do you think? Do you think
I agree with this 100%. Are you kidding me?
You believe that Dave Roberts targeted the Padres?
Targeted the Padres. He targeted every other team in the National League, too, because the only All-Stars were all Dodgers. So
that's true.
No, this is not. This is a matter of a guy who running the Dodgers wants to make his own guys happy before he's going to make any other team's guys happy, and I don't blame him. And when the Padres get to the World Series and Andy Green is sipping some champagne and allowed to pull out the All-Star roster, he better pick all Padres. That's just...
It's simple, right?
That's just the way it goes. The spoils go to the winners.
If there was a playoff bracket in sports radio and we got to the championship and I got to pick my roster, you better believe my staff is going with me.
Really?
100%.
Yeah. Oh, Thomas for sure.
Oh, what?
Yeah, definitely Thomas.
What? Oh, what? And Will's going to make a comeback?
Will, we can bring Will back yep. for sure.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for Padres Pen Pals for this week to Marcy, Nacho, Dan, and Andy.
All right. How do you know that Andy was a guy, by the way? You said
well,
guy.
His last name's Man.
Andy Man could be a woman.
Let me, I can go in
there. Yeah, I don't know what's going on in my mouth right now.
I'm just saying, I don't know what's coming out of your mouth either.
I don't know what's going on with my mouth right now. Wait, I'm clicking on Andy's profile, and Andy is a dude. Good, I got it right.
Thank you guys for your participation.
Here he is with his lovely family.
You lucked out.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.